again, this morning, we certainly give honor to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit for granting us the mind and the spirit to assemble together on this Sunday, actually the last Sunday in September, in the joy and in the comfort of pure fellowship with each other. And I'm so grateful this morning that we have the freedom and the liberty to share our talents even as a part of this service. I'm so thankful for the Spirit of Christ and for what the Lord continues to do in my life. And I'm so thankful as well for my beautiful bride, Shakita, and for my wonderful children, Elle, Lexi, Sydney, and Danielle. God has blessed me to have them as they certainly enrich my life. And every day through them, God certainly reminds me that when nothing else could help, I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but when nothing else could help, it is the love of God that lifts me. Hallelujah. And I'm so appreciative for them, as well as I am so appreciative for each of you. I am so encouraged. So encouraged. And I would ask that if you are on the call, if you could put your phone on mute or praise God. You can just put your phone on mute. Thank you. I am so encouraged as well by each of you. Your words of wisdom, your continued prayers, and your tangible expressions of support. It could be in the form of a prayer. It could be in the form of a word of knowledge. It could be in the form of a poem. It could be in the form of financial contributions. It doesn't matter. It is tangible, and it is the manifestation of God's love and comfort for all of us. And although we may be socially distant, we are not spiritually distant from the Lord Jesus. And even during this period of swift transition, the Holy Spirit is finding a powerful way to transform us by the renewing of our mind. I remember this week that a relative shared with me some time ago, some years ago, a conversation that he had with my mom. Affectionately, we call her Mama D. And he told me that during his illness, she said to him that if he wanted to get better, the first thing that he had to do was to stop fighting the illness in his body. Mama Digga said the first thing that he had to do to get better was to stop fighting against the illness in his body. She shared with him that there was nothing that he could do to get rid of the illness. And it was a wasted energy for him to try to fight against his illness rather than focusing his energy on just getting better. And that's what we want to do this morning, family. We just want to get better. During this moment in time, there's really nothing that we can do individually or collectively to change the reality of the pandemic that we now find ourselves in. And from a cultural perspective, man, we've been dealing with pandemic for a long time. We just didn't call it COVID-19. We called it other things. But nevertheless, it's been a pandemic for us. And this morning, I just want to remind us that rather than fighting against the winds, the current winds of our current realities, we need to just fight to change the sail. When we can't change the wind, we need to change the sail to move even closer to the destiny that we have with God in Christ Jesus. By faith, we should embrace this period of swift transition and be renewed in the spirit of our own minds that God is. Yes. He said, I am that I am. So he still remains sovereign as God is. Even in the pandemic of our lives, God is. And he is taking us to the next level by the power of the Holy Spirit. And on this morning, this last Sunday in September of 2021, I refuse, and I hope you refuse as well, to be spiritually distant from God. And I could hear in the volume of the book, King David crying out to the Lord and saying, create in me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore, hallelujah, unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. I believe, hallelujah, that last night, midday this morning, if you will, that God's free spirit was with Sister Annette, and she shared with us the poem that she did moments ago. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. I'm so glad for all of you and for all of the saints all over the world that have yielded their faith, like Sister Annette did mid-morning, to just move closer to God. Those who have kept the faith even during these perilous times and have cried out to God, God, just don't distance yourself from us. And don't take your Holy Spirit from us. That's really where our focus needs to be this morning. It ain't that we are distant from each other. That's not where our focus should be. Our focus should be is whether or not we are spiritually distant from God in Christ Jesus. You know, if the truth be told, perhaps we're already distant from each other. If the truth be told, perhaps we may have been physically close to each other, but our hearts were far from him and from each other. These people, they do worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. If the truth be told, perhaps we may have been in the same church building, in the same structure, in the same edifice, but not in, hallelujah, the same unity and fellowship of love. If the truth be told, we may have been sitting next to each other, but spiritually, we were not close like the church on the day of Pentecost, who all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's where we need to be this morning, family. But today, and hopefully at least for this part of the body of Christ, let us pray that at this moment, that this new wind of God, this new move of God, be the catalyst of a greater outpouring and renewal of his Holy Spirit in these latter days. Pray with me. Pray for me. Our Father, in reality of the matchless Lamb of God, we submit ourselves to you. We step out of ourselves and into the new creatures you have called us to be by the renewing of our mind. Transform us and move us now even closer to you. Help us and show us where we can change the sail within our own life so we can go to the next level through your Son, Jesus Christ. Transform us even now from the natural to the supernatural. Transform us from the ordinary to the spirit of excellence. By grace and through faith, we confess Christ and reaffirm that our salvation is eternally secure. In the spirit of humility and transparency, we confess our sin and reaffirm that you, God, are faithful and just to forgive us and are cleansing us from all unrighteousness so we can boldly come to your throne of grace. In now faith, we receive your free spirit in the spirit of our own mind and embrace the liberty of life and life more abundantly that we have by our Lord Jesus. In his name, we pray victory forward to our eternal reward. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Family, walk with me to the book of St. Matthew's chapter 6. I want to read verses 5 through 14. Today I selected to do so from the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. Listen now with me to the Logos, the word who is the Lord Jesus speaking. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. From the verses selected as our text this morning, I just want to briefly share with you from the thought, fighting forward with forgiveness. Fighting forward with forgiveness. I'm grateful this morning to acknowledge that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I, like many of you, under the sound of God's voice, was born with the privilege to grow up in a godly household. As I was growing up, one of the first memory assignments that I recall given to me was learning what we call the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer that I'm so glad we have been able to teach to our children in this house, and one that starts with the reality that God is our Father. And as an extension of that, he is our source. And because he is the source, he is my source, and he is our source. He is also, hallelujah, more than enough. He's El Shaddai. And in him there is no lack. Regardless of what appears to be a lack of resource, the people of God have the source. God. I've been young and now am a bit older, but I have yet seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. We heard it in the word that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So the righteous, the people of God, by faith, are never without resources because they are connected with the source, our Father who is in heaven. And I see something here in verse 6, which says, but you, thank God, it's a personal relationship. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, when you, if you will, are socially distant, but still spiritually connected, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. The secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Oh, my God, isn't that wonderful that we can go to the Father into the secret place and we can go where we have studied to be quiet, where we have blocked out and blocked out all the black noise, where we have blocked out all of the white noise, and where we have blocked out all the religious noise, and we can go into the secret place. And the Father who sees us in secret, who sees our failures and our insecurities and our God, our aspirations and our confessions of sin, our goals and our agenda. He sees us in our sins, but covered by his love and by the blood of Jesus, that the Father, our Father, can reward us openly. And I thank God that I can say this morning that he rewarded me with a beautiful bride. He rewarded me with beautiful and intelligent and gifted children. He rewarded me with a prosperous career and with good health. And he rewarded me with his love. So today I teach this morning as one who grew up with having a grace fund, not a trust fund, but a grace fund. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Avery. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Family, I hope you're hearing this with me this morning. We are not ordinary. We are not poor. We are not impoverished. We are not lacking. We are the seed, hallelujah, of Abraham by faith, and heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And we partake of a grace fund beyond measure. And because we are the beneficiaries of this amazing grace, through God who is in Christ, reconciling humanity back unto himself, oh, the Holy Spirit is reminding us this morning to fight forward with forgiveness. In Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, forgiveness is defined as the act of excusing or the act of giving a pardon to people in spite of their slight, in spite of their shortcomings, and in spite of their errors, in spite of their trespasses towards us. Forgiveness is the decision of a willing mind to let go and let God. To let go and let God. Well, how do we let go? We let go of resentment. We let go of the desire to get even. We let go of the thought to take revenge. We let go of the past so we can embrace the future that we have in this amazing grace. And we let God. And how do we do that? We let God by staying in our own lane and trusting him to do what he does best for our good and for his glory. And now we know that all things are working together for the good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. So God is crying out to us this morning to just let go and let God. So let us forgive. Paul shared this in Romans 12. We know verses 1 and 2 pretty good. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But Paul goes on and writes even further. And I'll pick it back up at verse 9. And I believe that when he wrote these particular verses, he wrote it for those possibly who naturally struggle with the desire to give back and to get even. And he says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written. For it is written. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And check this out. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul is preaching this morning a cancel culture. A cancel culture for those who are more motivated to fight back in hate than to fight forward with the forgiveness of God's love. God knows. I know he knows that it was difficult for us to see the images of men riding on horseback, treating people worse than they would even treat dogs. God knows, I'm sure, that it has left a bad taste in our mouths, and it's left pain in our hearts. And God knows too, that if we allow that taste and that pain to fester and to remain unchecked because we don't want to forgive, oh my God, hallelujah, it's only going to make us bitter and not better. But on this morning, thank God for Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, he is saying, change the sails. Even in this pandemic of hate, and move from bitter better. On this morning, we ought to be reminded that the Lord Jesus, he was born into a world dominated by the Roman Empire and men on horseback who disrespected anyone and everyone who was not of Roman descent. I hope you're hearing this with me this morning, family. We ought to be reminded that the Roman Empire surely did not consider a Palestinian Hebrew, including the matchless Lamb of God, as a people worthy of being equal or a people who had equity. The Lord Jesus, as a Palestinian Hebrew, he did not fit the demographic profile of a Roman citizen. And that's why they did not give it a second thought to hang an innocent man and nail him to that tree. The inharmonious and oppressive and diabolical system of the Roman Empire is not very much different than the one the people of God are being subjected to all over the world today. But today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, if you would hear with me what the Holy Spirit is reaffirming, fight forward with forgiveness. For God knows that in our flesh that there is a natural opposition against the use of this weapon that will overcome the cowboy. It's a weapon that we can use against the serpent in the cowboys on horseback. Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not revenge. The weapons of our warfare are not retaliation. The weapons of our warfare are not getting even and fighting backwards to slither. To only find ourselves slithering on our bellies and eating dust like a serpent. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the Lord Jesus taught the people of God to pray the model prayer. And listen to what he says again. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Here we see Jesus guiding us and emphasizing to us the necessity to forgive that we might be forgiven. How often have we prayed the Lord's model prayer, but yet failed to grasp and live out in real time the spiritual dynamic that when you can't change the winds of trespass, you can always change the sails of forgiveness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Family, there is an oxymoron that we should not fail to overlook today. And let me say it again, that to be forgiven by God, we must forgive one another. I know that our flesh and our mindset may not want to accept this spiritual reality. I know the ungodly will say, man, that's just weak. And my reply to that comment is, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, if you think it's so. But I read in the Word that it is in my weakness that the strength of Christ is made perfect. It is in the weakness, hallelujah, if you will, of my forgiveness that the strength of Christ is made perfect in my own life. And it is in Christ that I have come to know that his grace, oh my God, his amazing grace is sufficient. And as I close, this morning and hear this with me on today. Forgiveness is an active and intentional decision to give up your right to punish. You give up your right to punish or seek punishment of someone who has wronged you. Think about that. Think about what right God gave up not to punish us. Forgiveness is really the act of debt cancellation. So if you want to get out of the hole of debt, you've got to stop digging the pit of unforgiveness. If you want to get out of the hole of debt, you've got to stop digging the pit of unforgiveness. God got us out of the pit when he sent us his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Thank God that he forgives, that he saves, and that he has canceled the debt of sin and death for the whosoever African, the whosoever American, the whosoever Hebrew, the whosoever Gentile, rich, poor, male, female, educated, uneducated, the whosoever, even the cowboys on horseback. We see in Acts that he canceled the debt for an Ethiopian eunuch. And he canceled the debt of a murdering Pharisee, Hebrew, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He canceled the debt of a Roman centurion. And thank God this morning, even all of us who are on this call, he has canceled our debt. He has saved us by grace through faith. And that same forgiveness that God has applied to us, he's saying that we have to apply to all of those who thought wrong against us, who have acted wrongly against us, who has spoken to us wrongly. So if we want debt cancellation, we have to give debt cancellation. As my sister Vivian would say, when you are comfortable, and when you are comfortable in your most miserable feeling, it is hard to get you out. We possibly have gotten comfortable in thinking that we have strength and we have justification in being in our comfortable but most miserable feeling of unforgiveness. But Jesus is speaking to us now. Verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this morning, we want our spirits to be awakened, to continue fighting forward with forgiveness. Amen.